The numbers told the story, they have to.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. This is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for the vacation, and Kelly Bidlin, or as we like to say, Kelly Bidlin on assignment.
On assignment. Down in Florida.
In Florida. Signed to his family.
Yes.
How are you doing, man? You good?
Doing good. Yeah. Got an exciting game last night.
It was an exciting game. I was just telling you off air. I had no play. And then like 5 minutes before the game, I'm like, so let's see what Dr. Bob has to say about this game. He's like, I lean over. So I was like, okay, let me see. Over 41 points in the first half of a 48-27 Niners victory, which we'll discuss momentarily on the show today. A bevy of guests. Pete Futak will join us talking college football with us. Jake Hahn on the National Hockey League. Jeff Erickson talking week 17 in the NFL. Both from a fantasy. I'm sure you have some fantasy questions for him as well, perhaps, for fantasy championship.
Now it's in championship mode. Yeah. So I'm knocked out, unfortunately. But yeah, yes, fantasy championship. For most leagues, you know, either were last week or this week.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go into that week 18.
No.
You don't know.
So. Don't want to do that. I want to say Todd Wright told me this, but I'm not sure that he even put it a week forward, or maybe there's some other leagues. Maybe it wasn't him. Someone else told me that they end after last week.
Yeah, there's some leagues that end. I know some friends that play in leagues that ended last week. Last week was the championship, or this past week, I should say. My league that I play in this upcoming week is the
championship.
That's,
I think, what most still have. So we'll get fantasy, and we'll also talk his week 17 bets. And then Carl Sack will join us a little later on. Carl Sack, who we know from, he releases NBA plays and the market moves on release. We've done it on the show before. Not sure if he has an NBA release when he's on a little later on, but we will talk NBA. We will get his picks for tonight. I know he's already put out one. We will do that. And so we'll also talk about the fact that he is in, and I had no idea till last week, he's in the Matt Youmans Invitational, the Friday Football Invitational here at Circa. Derek Stevens, Matt Youmans, contest there where there's $30,000 in prizes. Sack is right on the cut line this week, right on the cut line with a couple games pending from opponents. I think he needs a few things to happen to sneak into the final eight as that contest continues. So we'll talk to Carl about that, what his strategy has been, both from a pro and college football perspective. That's the contest where it's seven picks a week, side or total, college and pro. I think max of four college a week, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll look into that with Carl. And then as we do each and every Tuesday, NFL power rankings. Finally, I think I have power ratings that are worth bets vis-a-vis the market. Still, this has been the weirdest year with power rankings. And again, DVOA, just if you think ours are weird, look at some of the analytics sites where teams like the Patriots and Bears aren't even close to being top 10 teams. We'll get into that. And of course, a little Survivor talk. Maybe more than a little Survivor talk, as 10 once again advance in Circa Survivor Classic for the second straight week. The remaining 10 are in. We have the Christmas quirk here. Remember, there's three quote-unquote weeks left. The Christmas three-game sprint on Thursday. And then if you're fortunate enough to survive that, then week 17B, or the 19th of 20 Survivor weeks, if you will. I don't know if they try to chop after Christmas, in between Christmas and Sunday. Maybe they make a deal. I know there's going to be a lot of money line bets on the other side during Christmas. We'll talk about that. So we'll go through availability on that for those interested in that. As far as the game last night, Danny, did you have a bet on this at all?
I did. I gave a Tyler Warren on over 36.5 receiving yards, which did not hit.
Did not hit.
Yeah, he had three catches for 30 yards. He did have nine targets. So, I mean, the volume was there. He just didn't get to it.
So he would have gotten that last one, I think, when Rivers threw the pick six.
Yeah. The one Rivers underthrew him on the touchdown before half as well. I mean, it happens. You know, that's what you do with player props sometimes. But I mean, he had the target share, which I mean, he had nine targets, but only three catches.
The idea was correct.
Yes.
Philip Rivers' arm, perhaps not.
No, not so much.
Yeah. He really can't throw the ball downfield.
He can't throw the ball very far.
Yeah. Last night, in case you missed it, Indianapolis started out. It was a track meet. Nine plays, 72 yards, 4 minutes and 29 seconds off the clock. Rivers, 5 of 7 for 73, more than halfway to his full total yards total from last week. On the first drive, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 13 conversions along the way. Rivers to Pierce from 20 out, 7-0 Colts. 4.5 minutes into the game, San Francisco immediately responds. 6 plays, 69 yards, took 3:17 off the clock. Purdy was 3 for 3 for 54 in that drive to Kittle. For 26 on the second play on second and six at their own 35. Then four plays later, Purdy to DeMarcus Robinson from 22 out, tied at seven halfway through the first. Already the over is soaring. Indianapolis ensuing kickoff. Amir Abdullah gets the ball punched out by Jair Brown, recovered by Jake Tongas. San Francisco set up at the Indianapolis 26. Five plays later, Purdy to McCaffrey from two out. His second touchdown pass of the game, 14-7. We still have 4:33 left in the first quarter. And then Indy would respond, 12 plays, 66 yards at 5:18. Rivers to Pierce from 16 out. We are tied at 14 apiece, less than a minute into the second quarter. Guess what? San Francisco, right back at him. 10 plays, 69 yards, took 4:39 off the clock. Purdy to Kittle from 11 out, his third touchdown pass, 21-14 Niners. We still have 9:36 left in the second quarter. And then it was an Indianapolis three and out, finally. Troy Aikman is openly laughing at Philip Rivers, trying to scramble out of the pocket. Like, it wasn't like subdued laughter. He like couldn't stop laughing. It was like, okay, Troy. San Francisco on a drive that started with Purdy getting sacked. This was San Francisco's night. He got sacked and the ball was dislodged. It went right into the arms of Luke Farrell in perfect stride. That drive ended up with a Pinero field goal, 24-14. And then Groupe would kick a 39-yard field goal to make it 24-17 with 17 seconds left in the half. And as is the case with the NFL this year, 17 seconds, sure, we might try to get some out of this. After a 36-yard kickoff return by Sky Moore, San Francisco with 11 seconds left from their own 40. Purdy to Bourne for a 14. Pinero, 64-yard try, hits the crossbar and bounces backwards.
That was a big doink.
Oh, man, he almost had it. Yeah. So it's 24-17 at the half. I did bet the Niners at halftime because this just felt like it was the Niners minus a half a point at the half. In other words, minus 7.5 full game. And you're like, this does not feel like the Colts are that good here or can stop San Francisco, I should say. San Francisco, sure enough, first drive of the second half, 8 plays, 64 yards. Purdy to Kittle for 15-22 on the drive to Jennings from three out. Great pass and catch. Purdy was just wonderful on that one. 31-17 San Francisco. Then it'll get to 31-20, 34-20 as they traded field goals. Indianapolis would get it within seven on a 12-play, 65-yard drive. Rivers 6 of 6 or 46 on that drive. Taylor in for ones, 34-27 Niners with 12:41 left. But before you could blink, well, maybe after the blink, but San Francisco 10 plays, 70 yards, 5:04, Purdy to McCaffrey from nine out. A play after Purdy might have hit Tongas from nine out on a toe tapper, which the Niners elected not to challenge. I'm screaming at the TV. I'm like, challenge it.
I know. That was, and one of my buddies actually had a Tongas anytime touchdown.
Oh,
and
he was brutal. Going nuts.
He was like, how did they not even review this?
Didn't review it. And the next play, they score easy.
Yeah, next play, they score easy with McCaffrey.
41-27. Indianapolis, then after a sack three at San Francisco one more time. But this one, Purdy threw high to Bourne. It was picked by Cam Bynum. So my second half bet was still in jeopardy, even though Niners are up 14 still. And then Indianapolis from their own 29 with 4:37 left, two timeouts after a 33-yard pass play to Pierce, the longest of the game. This is the play we were just talking about, Danny, on this one. First and 10 at the Niners 29, Rivers picked by D. Winters. As Troy Aikman pointed out, telegraphed by Ty Warren, who turned and just waited on it.
Yep.
It was like a basketball pass where the coach says, if you're the guy receiving the pass, you got to step into it. You got to give the passer a break. But he's just waiting on it.
Just waiting on it.
D. Winters is like, I see this coming. Picked it off, went to the house, 74 yards, 48-27. That is how it would end. They even put Riley Leonard in, poor dude, for the last drive, four and out. Niners win. Niners still have the number one seed on their racket. So do the Seahawks in the NFC. Remember, the two teams play each other in San Francisco. Week 18, Niners control their own destiny. Seahawks control their own destiny in terms of the number one seed. Obviously, both have already clinched a playoff berth. This is, well, a couple things. One, let's just get comeback player of the year off the table again. Let me just say what I have to say again. Phillip Rivers was never a thing in comeback player of the year. Remember, there were four things we talked about when he first decided he was coming back that he had to overcome. Four things, right? One, the language of the award. Two, he had to get the Colts to the playoffs. Three, he had to actually outperform history, like the Joe Flacco arc of when he threw for 374 and 368 and four 300-yard games, when he brought the Browns to the playoffs, when he won comeback player of the year. And he had to overcome the other players who had to cooperate by not being good at football, Christian McCaffrey has not cooperated. So Phillip Rivers basically has failed on all four counts, in my opinion, to comeback player of the year. So it's not a thing. Doesn't mean that what he's not that what he's doing isn't awesome. He's just not comeback player of the year. Christian McCaffrey, by the way, minus 700 in that category now. Trevor Lawrence plus 750, Rivers 16-1. The other thing, though, about the implications of that game last night, Danny, from a playoff perspective, I have lived on this earth 5 decades plus. 5 decades where I've known what's going on with football. I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment. I don't remember a year where with 2 weeks left in the season, this is that clear with what has to still be done beyond seeding. Seeding, I get it. They're still jockeying. But in both the NFC and the AFC, there are only two different battles happening. In the NFC, it's the battle for the NFC South between Carolina and Tampa. They play each other week 18. Carolina's magic number's 2, up a game. And there's a battle between the Lions and the Packers for the final wild card. Packers have to lose twice. Lions have to win twice for the Lions to overcome the Packers. In the AFC, same deal. Only 2 battles. AFC North, Steelers and Ravens. Steelers' magic number is 1. And then there's the battle between now the Texans and the Colts. Texans have to lose out. Colts have to win out for the Colts to get the final wild card. That's it. It's that simple. It's never been less muddied, if you will. Any year ever that I can ever remember with 2 weeks left in the season, there's usually, this happens, and that team ties, and that, all this kind of stuff.
You know, there's a lot coming down these last 2 weeks.
What's that?
There's a lot coming down with the last 2 weeks, and then playoff seeding.
Playoff seeding is a different story. Yeah. A lot to be determined with that and number one seed, obviously. We'll come back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's college basketball top plays, today's bowl game previews. Oh yeah, we got to talk about those 3 bowl games today. And tomorrow's Hawaii Bowl preview, Cal and Hawaii. Later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA picks and props, Jonathan Davis's NHL top plays, and Tyler Shoemaker's men and women's college basketball projections. All of that at VSiN.com. You can get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st, 2026 for just $79 with a holiday special at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander. Danny Higgins is in for Kelly Bidlin. Danny Higgins, who I mentioned yesterday, but we didn't really flush it out. You played pro football in Europe.
Yes, I played over in Denmark.
All right, where did you play here stateside?
I played up in Massachusetts. There's a smaller school called Bridgewater State. It's just outside of Boston, probably about 30 minutes southeast.
And then you decided, I'm not done playing football.
Well, I decided that, but I got a really good job offer up in Boston. So I worked for a news station up there for a year. And then I still had the itch to keep playing at 22. So I was still getting offers to go play overseas. So that's when I decided to go over there for a year and experience that.
If I went to the football community in Denmark and said, you all know Danny Higgins, would they be like, yeah, we know that dude?
If I don't remember me specifically, I'd say, but they would know the team. We did have a pretty good following over there, especially. I mean, they love their NFL, so they did follow it. The one thing I did not like about over there is the time difference. So it's a 6-hour time difference. So the 1 o'clock Eastern time starts. We're starting at night. To stay up for a night game, I had to take a nap and then wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the Monday or Sunday night game.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good for the schedule.
No.
We get tweets of beating the book. Richard Burkhart's very simple. He goes, Danny. So we call Danny back here. We go to the Ted Knight Caddyshack. How about a Fresca? This is Kyle D. Happy and safe holidays to you guys, whatever the hell you celebrate. Thank you, Kyle D. My favorite moments of the year, A&G getting hour number 3 and Gil finding out on his way to work. Dr. Bob versus the Jacksonville State University. What was that one? And meeting Kelly. Have a great day, guys. What was the Dr. Bob versus Jacksonville State? Finding out on my way to work. I don't remember that. So don't have to remind me. G-Strong Boston. Just curious, Gil, did you go to MIT? No, I did not. If so, did you ever run into Matt Damon type in the hallway showing up the math geeks? Happy holidays, my man. I did not go to MIT. Went to parties at MIT, though. on a Friday or Saturday night. That was the nice thing about going to school in Boston. Draco May almost had a heart attack seeing Kittle pop that calf last night. Seemed like he avoided the Gil Achilles special for now. We need a 30 for 30 on the San Francisco injury since 2020. We're going to get into some of these awards. We could do a whole segment on Coach of the Year alone. Is Kyle Shanahan not the most amazing, just alluding to the injuries? On defense alone, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Just those two guys. You don't even have to go beyond that, but there were injuries beyond that. And yeah, Kittle, that was a scare last night. I hope he's okay for the Niners. Jonathan Doe to Danny Higgins. Great job. I wish we could see more of him in this spot. What a nice change of pace.
Oh, there you thank go. You. Thank you very much.
Jack in Iowa. Todd is on an absolute heater. Wow. 10-2 yesterday on college basketball, 13-3 overall. Insane. Jack in Iowa. We've been talking about this for a month now. This is the most insane heater in any sport I've ever witnessed. I think I've ever, for an extended period of time, in terms of volume of bets.
It's unbelievable.
As Todd said, off air. I probably shouldn't say this on air, but as he said it off air last week, he goes, you know, I'm starting to think I might be the greatest college basketball in-game bettor of all time. Spence, my buddy and I had Tongas. Anytime touchdown. This is your story too, Danny, yeah. About your buddy. My buddy and I had Tongas anytime touchdown at 24-1. Why didn't they review that obvious touchdown? And the broadcasters basically accepted it. Joe mentioned it once after. In college, they can buzz the officials for a review. Can't the NFL do that too? Had to come from the team. And, you know, would it have been a touchdown? I think so. I don't think it's quite as obvious as you're saying it was, but I think it would have been. I think he had the toe.
Yeah, I believe it would have been. Definitely would have been a good review.
Yeah.
But I mean, they ran that play clock all the way down. So I'm assuming they were looking up that up top because they ran that clock down.
Someone must have thought it was not 100% for them not to challenge it. I didn't have the anytime touchdown, but I had the Niners in the second half. In addition to the over, it was already done, but I had the Niners in the second half. So I was screaming at the TV too. And then before you could, you know, scream too much, they scored.
McCaffrey's wide open.
wide open in the flat. But yes, I don't know, Spence. I don't know what they were thinking, not challenging that. That was a little odd. Fake follower. Says Matt Humans was talking last night about someone that had a 15 leg parlay that paid $165,000. If San Francisco won, can you confirm? Thank you. Love the show. Thanks for coming in today. We'll look on that. I don't know anything about that. And Harold Irving says, working at Massachusetts Maritime Academy and remembering Danny beating us four straight years for the cranberry scoop. Is that true?
That is true.
The cranberry scoop.
Yep. I got the mini scoop the 1 year.
Sounds like a very coveted award there. Very coveted trophy. Yeah. All right, about Coach of the Year. This is the award, because MVP, I think we all think it's Stafford. Does anybody think it's someone else? Maybe somebody does. Stafford's a prohibitive favorite. I think it's Matt Stafford. Offensive Player of the Year, in doubt to some degree. Right now, the leader in, I always get this mixed up, was Offensive Player of the Year, because McCaffrey leads Comeback Player of the Year. You could make a case for him for Offensive Player of the Year, but he's not the favorite in that. It's almost like the betting markets have decided, well, he's going to get Comeback Player of the Year. He's not going to get Offensive Player of the Year.
The short shot right now is Jack Nesmith Njigbu, minus 175.
The favorite. He's the favorite.
He's
okay.
The favorite. Puka, plus 160. And Caffrey jumped up to 10-1. He's now third for Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay. So I still don't know who's winning that. I don't know if there's a bet that I would make, because I don't know that I would bet McCaffrey. By the way, Jonathan Taylor, who was the leader in this category for so long this year, 30-1. He's donezo. I don't know that I can recommend McCaffrey thinking that he'll also get that Comeback Player of the Year.
I know that's where it's at. It's like, because he's such a big favorite in that. And would they give him both awards? I don't see it.
Defensive Player of the Year, it's Myles Garrett. Defensive Rookie of the Year, we think it's Carson Schwechinger.
It's actually come down a little bit. Schwechinger dropped down to, he's a favorite at minus 800. And then my guy, Nick Amore, that I have the ticket of 40-1 on,
yeah.
He's back up to plus 750.
So is James Pierce Jr., who the Falcons traded on draft day, traded number one pick next year. That's why the Rams have their pick in next year's draft, which right now slots at number 11 for the LA Rams. James Pierce also plus 750. But Schwechinger is still minus 800, still a prohibitive favorite. Sorry, Danny, I know you're trying to will him on worry there.
This is a couple weeks ago after the Ravens-Browns game. I was watching. I came in that that Monday morning, I told Kelly, I was like, I think I'm dead. After watching him actually play, I'm like, he's all over the field.
Okay, but let's get to the good one here, right? Let's get to the good one. And by the way, offensive rookie of the year is also a debate, right? Egbuka, Tet McMillan is the favorite now, but Egbuka's in there, and then
Tyler Shuck.
Some people think Tyler Shuck, right? Tyler Shuck is stuck in between McMillan and Egbuka now. Tetero McMillan's minus 280, Tyler Shuck plus 350, Egbuka 14-1. 14-1 Egbuka has dropped back down to, and Travion back down to 17-1. Jackson Dart back to his original number, ladies and gentlemen, at 22-1. Yeah, it's not happening. And again, the Tyler Shuck candidacy is all based on can New Orleans sort of win out, because his stats are not even as good as Jackson Dart's are. So it's just about wins with him. But Tet McMillan had a big time touchdown in a meaningful game against the Bucks last week. He's your current favorite, minus 280. I have no idea who's winning that.
Yeah, no.
None. Coach of the year. This is the one that, because comeback player of the year, we think it's going to be C-Mac. Coach of the year is the one, again, this to me, the interesting part about this, which we haven't really articulated it this way, is there are 50 people voting. 50 votes. Could you see a winner? You got Vrabel, by the way, at minus 110. Shanahan and McDonald are now both plus 330 as the second shots here. Liam Cohen of the Jags plus 750. Ben Johnson of the Bears, 8-1. Sean Payton, who's 12-3, is 40-1. Poor dude. And then Dave Canales of the Panthers is 80-1. Like, that wasn't a good job. Jim Harbaugh's 80-1 with the Chargers. So, and D'Amico's 150-1. And Sean McVay apparently will never get this award. He's at 150-1 too, because he gets no respect in this. I don't know why. But anyway, let's take Peyton, Canales, Harbaugh, and Ryans, and McVay off the board for a second. Let's just say it's Vrabel, Shanahan, McDonald, Cohen, Johnson. Five guys. Could be more than that, but it's those five guys. All of them have a legit case. Could you see a final result in this award where the winner gets like five first place votes? That it could be that splintered?
I feel like it's going to be very split. Like, there's going to be...
But I'm talking, like, unbelievably so. I think so. See it.
It's going to come... Does that come down to also do one of those... if Shanahan, McDonald, or... if Shanahan or McDonald, if they get that one seed in the NFC, is that going to solidify them over Vrabel if they only get the two?
I think you have come down to what's going to be the determinant of the NFC teams. McDonald versus Shanahan will simply come down to that. Ben Johnson as well in there, right? I think whoever gets the number one seed is the leader of the NFC coaches. And then as far as the AFC, if it's a Vrabel-Cohen thing, right, you have to throw them in the mix. If one of those guys gets the number one seed in the AFC, then it's a fair fight, right? It's like a Super Bowl of coaches, the NFC winner and the AFC winner in a head-to-head.
Head-to-head. And then,
but it's possible that the two AFC guys don't get there.
It's possible. And it's to see where do the voters put their stock in of what means more to a meaning of this award.
But I would favor, for this is the only award where I do think it's justified to come down to that. Who gets the number one seed? The other ones, I don't think it matters. Coming back with hockey.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started. We get tweets at Beating the Book on this day before Christmas. Tonight is... the eve of Christmas Eve day.
Eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah. A couple folks clarifying the DraftKings thing. So it was a guy on DraftKings who needed the Niners to cover last night, which they did for $165,000.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
Or he had the option to take the cash out of $73,000 before last night's game. And he was asking folks, what should he do? Thank you, Scola, for that. And thank you, B's bets.
So what I saw he actually did too as well, he took the cash out.
$10 bet for $165,000.
Yeah, so he cashed out, I believe it was 72, and then I'm assuming after taxes, but then he also put money on the 49ers laying 5.5. A substantial amount.
Okay. It was a 15-pick parlay. 15-pick parlay that paid, was it 1,000, was it 16,000 to 1? Something like that. 16,000. 504-1.
Yeah, I got it right here. He had all the games, 15 leg parlay and one game away. This was from DraftKings from crushing it. He just needed the 49ers -5.5, and he decided to cash out at 72,000.
Okay.
Off a $10 bet.
It's one way to play it. Good for him.
Not a bad ROI right there.
Eli E. saw the Oscars prices in a faraway place. Who do you usually have on for those picks? We usually have Brian Ortega on. We'll have Brian Ortega on again, guys. Anybody? No? Nothing? Yeah, we'll try to get Ortega back on. John Balducci, happy Festivus. A Festivus for the rest of us, he says. Brad Magnus, I need some help here. I own 1% of a Circa Survivor entry valued at roughly $18,000. Oh, he's got 1% of one of the remaining 10. He said the only options for Christmas for his entry, and we'll get into this later, Washington and Minnesota. Do I try and sell? If not, how do I hedge this? I don't have confidence in either team getting past Christmas. Appreciate any feedback. Well, Brad, I am not going to chime in on that because I don't want to steer you in any wrong direction. But I will say this. You obviously know this with just Brosmer and Johnson. If that is in fact the case, you're not the only one, by the way, that has just Minnesota and Washington. But you are the, you know, again, the folks who have Dallas. Five of the remaining 10 have Dallas. You're among the five, your entry that you're a part of is among the five that can only pick from Johnson, Brosmer, and Alatikin. That's tough. So you just got to get through this. I think there are bets to be made that you must make on the other side of those. Personally speaking, I don't know if you can find someone who's going to buy your entry for a premium at this point. You'd know better than I on that. Let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us now from north of the border, somewhere in Toronto, Canada, prior to his Christmas trip even further north. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4, that's J-H-A-H-N and the number 4, co-host on the Point. And the Fantasy Hockey Show, once again, Sirius XM NHL and co-host of NHL Fantasy on the podcast side, the Ice Podcast. How you doing, man? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Danny. Merry Christmas to all the listeners, the viewers out there as well. Hope everybody's having a safe and happy holiday season, getting some time off work, maybe kicking up, watching some bowl games. I'm right downtown Toronto, Gil. I'm not too far away from where the Leafs play. I am going to Leafs Penguins, 4 o'clock Eastern. Nice little afternoon game to kick off my Christmas holiday. So I'm looking forward to that. And I heard you mention Oscar picks. When we get closer to the awards, I can give you a couple Oscar picks.
There we go.
I'm pretty tapped into that market. So I got a couple numbers I'm already looking at.
I used to love, like when I first started a podcast, I would do an Oscars pod episode every year back when we would go to the movies, and then post pandemic, I don't even know any of them. I don't even do the homework.
I have a hard time seeing anybody beat Sean Penn in one battle after another, and he's still plus money for best supporting actor. I think I saw plus 125, something in that range. A lot of the other awards right now, or at least the big awards, you're seeing minus 200, minus 300 favorites. That's one I think I would buy. I feel like, I haven't seen every movie that's out right now, any of all the Oscar bait movies, but it's going to be tough to beat that performance from Sean Penn.
And apolitically speaking from our standpoint, but just from a handicapping standpoint, the Oscars loves his politics too. That's not a bad thing in that handicap as well. Where do you go where do you go? You say you don't go to the cottages, but you said the cottages, people in Canada love their cottages, but where are you going for Christmas?
People in Canada do love their cottages. I'm pretty close. I'm like right at the start of cottage country. That's where I grew up, just a couple hours north of Toronto. So I'll be heading up there for a few days, maybe see some friends, certainly see some family and watch some bowl games, watch the World Juniors as well. I know it's not as popular south of the border, Gil, but the under 20 hockey championship, huge up here in Canada. Canadians go nuts for it. It actually is in the U.S. this year in Minnesota. That's a Boxing Day tradition in Canada, December 26th. Everybody watches the World Juniors. Canada usually plays the late game there. So I will be all over that. And maybe when I come on with you guys next time, I'll be able to give some World Junior picks.
Canada, the team to beat? World Juniors?
Canada is the team to beat. Now, look, the U.S. are going for the three-peat. They are the back-to-back champs going into this tournament. And like I said, they are on home ice. But this Canadian roster is very strong. And it's a Canadian roster that has players missing that are playing in the NHL, playing significant roles in the NHL. So you wonder how stacked this Canadian roster could be. I still think it's the best team and the team to beat this year. I think they're coming back for gold.
Real quick before we get to your picks, because you have a couple sides and you have prop bets to make. Sidney Crosby just passed Mario Lemieux's Pittsburgh Penguins franchise scoring record in the Penguins shootout win last night over the Canadiens. Not last night, but Sunday night. Crosby now with 1,724 points in 1,387 games. So he just moved ahead of Lemieux, not only for the franchise record, for eighth most in NHL history. The Pittsburgh Penguins fan base still views Lemieux as the king and Crosby right below that, or have some come around on this?
I believe so. It's probably tough though. I think at this point, the longevity of Crosby, like you look at Lemieux's numbers, took him way less games to get to that point total. Now it's era adjusted. It was a little easier to score back then than it is now. So I think you have to factor that in. But what Sid's done for this franchise on the ice, obviously with the three Stanley Cups, and off the ice as well, the loyalty he's shown to Pittsburgh, I would think it's pretty close, Gil. I would think it's maybe 50-50 with that fan base. Probably also depends on your age when you grew up. You know, if you're a younger Penguins fan, more likely you're going to be attached to Sid. Older fan, you're probably more attached to Mario Lemieux. But all I know is I'm going to get a chance to see him play hockey live today in Toronto, and I'm looking forward to that. It feels like he's got 4 or 5 years left in the tank the way he's going. So I don't look at it as a, oh, it's my last chance to see Sid. This guy is still playing at such a high level. I think I'm going to get a few more chances to watch.
That's awesome. You'll be there for that game. Okay.
Yeah.
But no bet for you in that game.
Well, I do. One of my props is from this game. I had to sneak one in. Now I don't have, there's a lot of things going on in Toronto right now, Gil, and not good for this Leafs team. They've lost a few games in a row. A lot of speculation about coaching changes, coach firing to spark this team that's last in the Eastern Conference right now. They did fire their assistant coach yesterday. I don't know how much that's going to affect the team, but they've had a dreadful power play. So I'm staying away from a side or total here, but I am going to go to Rickard Rakell on the Penguins side, over 2.5 shots. He's been firing since he came back from injury, and this Leafs team is just not good defensively right now. I think he should be good for 3 shots this afternoon.
Sorry, Leafs fired Mark Savard as the age-old hockey tradition of firing your coaches willy-nilly whenever continues in that. Since we did one prop bet, why don't we go through the prop bets first? What else you got today on a pretty full slate NHL hockey?
A lot of hockey. We got to squeeze it in because the NHL does go dark for 3 days. Nothing on Christmas Eve, nothing on Christmas, nothing on Boxing Day. So this is the last day before a little bit of a break. I tend to favor the road teams here, but I am going to look to some home players for props. Connor McDavid, 2 points. This has just been a money spot. He's the hottest player in the league right now. I think a lot of talk about Nathan MacKinnon maybe taking the mantle as best player. I don't know if McDavid heard that. If he did, he answered the bell. So I like 2 points for McDavid tonight in the Battle of Alberta. Jackson Blake for a point between the Canes and the Florida Panthers. Fabian Zetterlin plus money for a point up on that top power play with the Ottawa Senators. I mentioned Rakell for his shots. I also like Noah Hanifin over 2.5 shots and William Eklund over 2.5 shots in the Sharks Vegas game out late tonight.
All right. 6 different player props. And then a couple sides. Dallas Stars playing the Red Wings today. Who you got here?
I feel like I'm throwing a little shade at the Red Wings here because they have played well. They just beat Washington twice in a home and home situation over the weekend. Maybe I'm not buying in enough to this Red Wings team. I just think this is a step up in competition. And I do think sticking around at home for the holidays, guys, can be a little bit tricky sometimes for these home teams. You get a lot of friends and family coming in, a lot of responsibilities. I think it can be a little bit easier for the road team. I think that's a fair price for the Dallas Stars tonight. Just to me, still a way better team than Detroit. As much as Detroit has improved this year, I think the Stars are the better team, and we're getting a pretty fair price on the road.
-121 is what we're showing on the Stars at the Red Wings. And then to the Eastern Conference, where, again, heat check, top team versus bottom team, 10-point difference. What about the Bruins and the Canadiens? How are you playing that?
One of the great rivalries in the NHL. It might not be at its peak right now. You mentioned it with the standings, Gil, but this rivalry goes way back. Always love to see these logos beside each other. I think we get a low-scoring game. I like how Jacob Fowler's playing between the pipes for the Montreal Canadiens right now, their young goaltender. Assuming it's Jeremy Swayman for Boston, I think we get a lower event, lower-scoring game in Beantown.
Jake, Merry Christmas, man. Enjoy your family, and happy holidays to you and yours, man.
Great to see you guys. Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners out there.
Jake Hahn, everybody. Right here on A Numbers Game, Survivor Talk next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Calais Badalon. By the way, if you can check out Danny on Twitter at dhiggins_4, his jersey number. @DHiggins_4. We get tweets beating the book. Ryan Thompson, 15 leg NFL parlay. That's what the guy had. I guess we know that person's answer to the Megapod question. Which game do you want no part of? That's right. By deduction, by deductive reasoning, we can figure that out. Speaking of the Megapod, Megapod today with Ben Wilson as Todd Will and my guest from The Win. And the next week, also Tuesday, again, scheduling for Christmas and for New Year's Day. Next week, Tuesday as well, Ace Vegas Runner Throwback will be the guest on the Megapod as we close out the regular season. Kyle D, Dom Corleone 28. If I'm not mistaken, Dr. Bob, he's following up on the tweet from earlier, talking about me driving into work and finding out about Dr. Bob and Jacksonville State. He said that, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Bob has had it out for Jacksonville State since last year, and this year he took their season win total under, within good reason, of course, but they just kept winning this year. Also, welcome back, Gil's glasses. Yeah, but I don't remember what the thing me driving to work had to do with that. And yes, the glasses, I don't know, I see better without the glasses all of a sudden. But Deborah Song, fashion stylist, wants me to wear the black framed ones, so those are coming back. Sorry, guys. I know you said it looks like I'm wearing a prosthetic nose, but those are coming back. Trek McPhee, lost in the Colts collapse. Oh, I've mentioned this, but not today. You're right. Is the Sauce trade now missing two first round picks? They went for the Super Bowl in 2026 and completely folded. Yikes. Well, injuries had something to do with that. Let's not say they completely folded, but yes, they haven't won a game since the Taft administration, it feels like. But yeah, the Sauce trade, they went all in. And so it was just, you know, you go all in. And sometimes when it doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out. And that's tough for the Colts. Joe C714, what happened with Profit X in California? I just found out it's not available here anymore. Yes, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when it went down. As folks were tweeting about it, everybody got emails. Profit X is under the sweepstakes umbrella. Now, this is just my sort of me giving an opinion on this, me theorizing. It's not fact necessarily, but I believe if I'm reading the tea leaves, again, what's happening here is that legalized sports books, super upset. I'm downplaying it. Pick another word for upset. Super hot about the fact that prediction markets exist, like Kalshi, like Polymarket, who fall under a national category of commodities exchange. They are licensed by the commodities exchange. It's a different umbrella. And Donald Trump, who many of them voted for, many casino operators voted for, his son is now on the boards of both Polymarket and Kalshi. So what I've been saying again is, hey, the dude you voted for is now kind of screwed you here, or at least sort of, colluding with these prediction markets now and having his son on these boards, because those prediction markets are now going nowhere anytime soon. But I believe the concession in all of this is that the sweepstakes loophole will go away slowly, and it has a shelf life. And I think state by state, it will disappear. It's already disappeared in New Jersey. It's now disappeared in California. Still in tons of states, right? Still in like 30 plus. But I do think it has a shelf life if I'm sort of reading the landscape correctly. So that's what happened. California, the latest to eliminate the sweepstakes loophole. Manny Davison, Crosby on the ice, Mario off the ice for me as far as legacy in Pittsburgh. There it is. Crosby on the ice, he goes with Mario off the ice. That's interesting way to break it down, Manny Davison. All right, let's do it. Let's talk Survivor.
Hello, you play to win the game.
It's time for your weekly Survivor preview with Gil and Kelly. I'm a
survivor. And today, sitting in for Kelly Bidlin, Danny Higgins.
Danny.
How about a fresca? let's see. This is, okay, so we have reached the point with 10 entries left, each of which is worth 1.87. What is it? Not what each is worth 1.87 million. That's correct. Because you have 10 out of an $18,718,000 pot. And so again, each currently worth implied value $1,871,800. Oh boy. 10 left. They've been alive for the last 2 weeks. Nobody's gotten eliminated. But now we have the Christmas quirk, 3 games. Dallas at Washington, Detroit at Minnesota, Denver at Kansas City. Thank you for all these stats, courtesy of our buddy K-Flow, KFlorenz1 on Twitter, for many of these numbers and much of the availability here. But, you know, these entries, like everybody else that entered this, saved teams, right, had an eye on saving teams for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And as NFL seasons go, things don't work out with injuries. And so now 5 of the remaining 10 entries are stuck with some combination of Minnesota and Washington or Kansas City and Minnesota. meaning they must back, as it looks right now, Max Brosmer, Josh Johnson, or Chris Oladokun. Now, there again, maybe Marcus Mariota will play for Washington. Even still, then, you got to play Dallas. Five have Dallas available to them, as you see the availability there of those remaining 10 entries for Christmas. So the people with Dallas have the advantage, at least by what the market tells you, heading into Christmas. Now, of course, we know how the NFL goes. Anything is possible. Who knows if they'll have the advantage when all is said and done. But at least heading into this Christmas quirk on Thursday, those five have to feel better than the five without the Dallas option. Those stuck with Minnesota, Washington, or Kansas City, and their, forget second-string quarterbacks, third strings in some cases. Now, that's Christmas. If they are lucky enough, whoever is lucky enough to get through Christmas of the 10, maybe it's all, maybe it's half, maybe it's a few, who knows? Then it goes to week 17B, or the 19th of 20, quote-unquote, weeks in Circa Survivor number 6, the sixth year of Circa Survivor. Now, at this point, we'll get to the availability, but here are some of your options for the weekend. So beyond Christmas, where the three games are obviously fixed, and those are your only six options. The Seahawks and Rams are big favorites, week 17B, if you will, meaning this weekend's games, but nobody has them available, Danny. So they're off the board. Seahawks and Rams, big favorites. Sorry, can't play them. As far as the ones that are available of the bigger, that's also in quotes, favorites, here are a couple, Jaguars and Patriots, where they actually have a week 18 possibility that you might want to still save them for. Remember, there's still 1 week after this weekend, the final weekend. And the Jaguars and Patriots, one person has the Jags remaining heading into this week. Four people have the Patriots remaining. You may want to hold those two teams because there are not a lot of options the final week. Really, there are only three options. To be honest with you, as you look at it right now, Jags, Pats, and Cowboys, of the games you can anticipate where they're either playing a poor opponent slash have something to play for. All the other games involve teams that are either been used by everybody or involve teams that may have nothing to play for week 18, the 20th of the 20 Survivor weeks. So the folks who have the Jaguars and Patriots heading into this weekend may want to save them because the Jags host the Titans week 18, the final week, and the Pats host the Dolphins week 18. So they got to keep that in mind. I wouldn't play them here because of that. The other games on this weekend slate, so post-Christmas, that are big-ish favorites that are available to some. We can go to the next graphic. Not that graphic, the other one, guys, with the green check marks on it. By the way, those are the three that I think were the best. Here are the ones. I put a green check mark and a question mark after this because it's like, who would you rather, if you don't have Jacksonville or New England available, or if you're saving Jacksonville and New England, who of these four teams would you feel most comfortable playing post-Christmas this weekend? Cincinnati as a 7-point favorite versus Arizona. 8 of the remaining 10 have them. Pittsburgh, 4-point favorite at Cleveland. 5 of the remaining 10 have Pittsburgh available to them. Tampa Bay, 5.5-point favorites at Miami. 8 of the remaining 10 have Tampa Bay available. 2 have the Niners. Maybe some people get frisky, play the Niners, 3-point favorites, hosting the Bears. That seems kind of dicey. Which of those four makes you the most comfortable? And which is the least comfortable?
Least comfortable, I would have to say Pittsburgh, to be honest.
I think you might be right.
With that division game going on the road at Cleveland, not going to have DK Metcalf.
No DK.
I think that you never know with especially division games and then AFC North division games. Cleveland just played Buffalo real tough this week.
I think the folks who get through Christmas will start a serious chop talk after that. That is my hunch. Will it get agreed to? I have no idea. But I do think it will step up after Christmas. It always has to wait till Christmas is cleared, because then you really can have some final separation. And this year it was like a week later than most. So I think that'll happen. But then you have those teams to choose from, generally speaking, this weekend. And then just that last graphic, guys, the one that you had up before, this is week 18 to me, again, looking ahead. Jacksonville, New England, and Dallas. Those are kind of the only things you can sort of count on, at least right now as we look at it. Patriots host the Dolphins, Jags host the Titans, Cowboys are at the Giants, who will have incentive to lose for that number one pick, or at least the number two pick based on this week's results. What a fascinating contest. Good luck to all involved. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.